Good evening, everyone. How many of you remember Pastor Mathi was here, and we had a conference when Pastor Mathi visited us, right? Do you remember his salutation? Anyone? Dobre utra. Yes. Dobre utra. Okay. We went to Hyderabad for the conference there in Hyderabad, and it was for me an amazing time to see how the work of God is actually moved in that place. And the theme of the conference was consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7. And one thing which really blessed me in the entire trip was I got to see many young people following God. If you see the Hyderabad church, it's actually like 60 to 70% of the congregation is actually like young people, maybe in the age group of 18 to 25, and they are young, and it really kind of motivated me a lot and encouraged me that there are young people who are wanting to follow God. And not that we don't see young people following God here, but when you see a setting like that, 70 to 80% of the congregation is all young, and we have like few couples and few elderly people, but majority of them are young people below 25, and fervent to come to church, be in Bible school, take a class, and even in the RAPS fellowship. And can you imagine, they have like close to 3 worship leaders and amazing musicians, so many of them, and it's amazing the way I saw that. It really encouraged me that young people are really serious about following God, right? And also for me personally, I was raised up in that place as a child, and then got saved in that place, and then like made a move to come to Bible school here, and to see how God really moves in places, and really blessed me. I got to meet so many of my my neighbors where I was raised up. I got to speak to a few people, and they were all shocked. They said, "We used to hold you in our hands and play with you, and you are grown up so big, you know." So but it was really phenomenal. And so based on that, I have few thoughts, and I will try to put some points from also the theme of Pastor shared many messages, and try to make something out of this. Okay, so before we start, let's pray. Father, thank you for gathering all of us, and we pray that you will speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. For the message, I want you all to note down 3 words. The first word is stronghold. The second word is foothold. And the third word is hold fast. Stronghold, foothold, and hold fast, right? And I got these 3 words in the family camp at Ooty, actually. And these 3 words actually fit well in the context of what I saw in Hyderabad and how God is like moving in that place, in that geographical area, and what can come out of this, right? So the first word, stronghold, and the Hebrew word for stronghold, it is batsar, and it means inaccessible by height or by fortification. Inaccessible by height or by fortification, right? And in the New Testament, we see This was 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. It says that, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual, pulling down of strongholds, right? So that is the New Testament verse. And if you see generally our country is full of strongholds, right? How do I know that this place is a stronghold? It's very easy. If you don't see a Bible-believing church in that area, you definitely know that this area is a stronghold. I am saying a Bible-believing church in that area, say 5 kilometer stretch, you don't see anything there, right? You will know that it is a stronghold because it is a territory which is governed by our enemy and the forces which govern that place. And this is what, as a child, when I grew up in that place, I remember, like, these are like bad memories, but these are like also God like showing you from where you were actually plucked out from, right? So in that place where I grew up, I saw many things happen there in that place. There used to be these great jatras which will happen, right? I've seen like 2 young people getting killed, and I've heard of someone getting murdered there, and you name a thing, and we could like really sense that all these things are really happening. And amidst of all these things, right, what does God do? God actually plants a church. Right, so way back in 2000, I don't know, but there were many people, I'm sure, who really prayed for that place and kind of wanted to start something there. And the tribute to the work of God is for those people who really persevered. Right, even in our church, there are many men of God who visited that place and like sowed the seed of the gospel. Right, so. And then the second one, the second word, it is foothold, right? So it's meaning that if you want to take control of something, your foot has to take hold, right? So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the messianic promise, right? It says that the heel will be bruised, but the head will be crushed. Right? So the foothold is very, very necessary to gain some kind of control over that area. And the foothold is because of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? So the seed of the gospel was sown in that place, and slowly the strongholds, so-called strongholds, it looks like it did not fall down like the walls of Jericho, but slowly and slowly it did fall down, right? Can we have like a prayer request for Coimbatore, right? Can we really do that? We heard, we know, and we also know that a precious family is there in that place, right? And we know that those strongholds are going to come down. It is going to happen. But let us persevere with God and pray and believe that those strongholds will really come down one day. Right? And when it comes to the foothold, I have one verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. It says that, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, right? So the foothold in that area was actually established because of the gospel, right? And the gospel, what does the gospel do? It abolishes death and it brought life and immortality, right? It brought life and immortality, right? So many lives are being salvaged because of the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ in that place where where even a glimpse of church or someone opening the Bible, I don't have any remembrance of that. But I remember that when I was growing up, I first time saw some people like with a guitar, like playing some gospel songs and the Bible being opened up. And like there was a gathering, and there was something very special which actually was happening, right? So it was the message of the gospel, and slowly the foothold was actually established, right? And even the psalmist writes that the enemies of the Lord, I will make them a footstool, right? So Jesus Christ has already done that, and there is a foothold which is actually established now, right? And the next verse, the next word is hold fast. And hold fast is in 2 Timothy 1 verse 13. And Apostle Paul here is writing to Timothy, hold fast to what? The pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Right? So here is the apostle, and he's writing to Timothy, and he's asking him to hold on to this pattern which you have received. And it is of sound words, and that word pattern is very important, because there is something which is really handed over, and it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16 that Apostle Paul says that I am an example of the one who received mercy from God, right? And in Titus chapter 2 verse 7, it talks of young men to have a pattern of good works, doctrine, integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. And in Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5, it talks about the pattern which God gave Moses in building the tabernacle. Right, so this pattern was given, and Paul is here encouraging Timothy to don't let go, hold fast to that pattern which was given to him, right? And that pattern is given to us also. I was thinking before I close, there are many churches which we have in and around our area, right? Many of them, you name. But I was thinking, do these churches have a heritage with them? Or do these churches have a spiritual inheritance with them? Right? And if you can really deeply think, the answer would be no. The answer would be no. Right? But we are not like the other church. We really have something, a pattern which is really shown to us. We have a heritage, and we have a spiritual inheritance which is given to us. And that is the attack, that we be robbed of this inheritance which is given to us, right? And we are called to hold fast to this pattern which was given to us. And that was the messages which were preached in the conference in Hyderabad, right? And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is writing that be strong in grace. This is a pattern which is given to you, right? Be strong in grace. And the chapter goes on with the three examples of a soldier, a farmer, and an athlete, right? And how three of them, unique in their profession, but they were all like brought together, and they were made fit for the service which they had to render, right? So so it was an amazing time. I really enjoyed my time. It's a good time to visit Hyderabad also. And I'm really believing that God will do a great work in that place, right? So I want to close. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these thoughts, and bless these thoughts to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Second Timothy chapter 2, In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is addressing Timothy because he is going to stand before his executors. He's going to be executed. And he's writing this letter prior to his departure, and there are some things that are very important that he is saying. And in 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 10, there are four words that I would like to say. The first word is the word to entrust. We have received an inheritance. The inheritance that we have received is our heritage. It is very important for us to recognize what our heritage is so as to guard it. It is very important for this heritage that we have received through an inheritance to be passed down. Therefore, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to entrust this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He is asking Timothy, I want you to place this alongside, parathithamai. There comes a time in our lives as believers, as we are engaged in conflict, to allow certain things to come into our lives that will interfere with the inheritance that we have received, so as to have it be translated into a heritage in order for it to be passed down. Therefore, a church survives for one generation only. One of the beautiful things that Pastor Shala said about the Moody Church is that for 150 years, that church is effective because the elders in that church, in each successive generation, made sure that there was a spiritual man that was the pastor of the church. And Pastor Shala, with much brokenness, said, I hope it is like that with our ministry. There must be a sense of passion that you and I must be consumed with as we are called into this body. It is not Dr. Stevens' ministry or Brian Coelho's ministry. It is the Church of Jesus Christ. And we have received an inheritance, and that inheritance has become a heritage, and that heritage needs to be guarded at all costs. But there will come a time where people within the body of Christ would not understand the nature of their calling. They will become indifferent and insensitive to it. And they will not allow that heritage to be guarded so as to pass it down in their families, in their marriages, in their relationships, in the body of Christ. So the Apostle Paul is saying, Timothy, entrust. To whom? Not any Tom, Dick and Harry. Or Jane, Mary and Sally. To faithful men. I want to say this with brokenness today. Demons know how to interfere with the move of God so as to rob the body of its fullness. Therefore, what I say with my tongue must pass through the filter of God, the Holy Spirit, if I have to say it. A married woman does not uncover a husband to a local pastor in this body if the husband is not there with her in any manner of counsel. Let me say that again right now. No woman can sit down with me in my office and talk to me about a husband if a husband is not there. I don't care what that woman is going through. Your husband better be there, and you tell him that this is what you're going to say to the pastor if he doesn't want to be there. Soul power relationships, cliques, rob us of the continuance of experiencing our heritage. If someone were to come to me and say things to me and begin to open their mouth and say, I want to say some things, if I was not in a pastoral position, I would say, did you go to the pastor first with that? The answer is no, then I don't want to hear it. It's not that you don't have the right to hear, it is something that is coming from another kingdom to make sure that you get knocked out of the lineage into which you have been called to preserve the heritage. You're a Wednesday night crowd, right? No, you're not. You're a crowd, but you're disciples. You will be at some point of time in a pioneering position, and at that point of time you will recognize what the bite of the dog is and what the bite of the serpent is. The bite of the dog does not inject any venom. The bite of the serpent puts some venom inside. You got to discern what you're hearing, whether it is venomous or not. Therefore, the walk of the believer is a circumspect walk. Felix, Dennis, Pastor Benny, myself, Sudha, Pastor Timothy, Pastor Isaac, we fought a lot. Pastor John, we were constantly killing each other with words, no? A new person coming into the body of Christ with all kinds of baggage, with problems, when they come into the body, they are not wanting to see backbiting, bickering, people suffering from poor self-images, indifferent, I'm not doing this, I'm not being given that, this has not been given to me, that has not been given to me. They will be shattered if they see this in the body of Christ. They want someone to bear their yoke. They don't want someone to put another yoke on them. Timothy, entrust. Parathitomai. In order for parathitomai to take place, in Hebrews 12, an apothitomai must take place. What is that? That is, I must be willing to lay aside any weight that besets me. You know what that besetting sin is? The word is so beautiful because, not the sin, the word. It is a word that is used in such a way wherein which it weaves itself around the person in a very skillful manner. If I am not in the spirit, it will weave itself around me. Therefore, the believer cannot leave the place, he cannot leave that place of having a categorical premise in his thinking. And if he leaves that place of where he can categorically think, that besetting sin that is so beautifully, skillfully surrounds him in that sense, he will get into trouble. Because at that point of time, he cannot trust in his own wisdom. He has to trust in the wisdom of God. Many times, the parathitomai, the entrusting to faith, to entrusting, has been taken away Why? Because the apotitamai, the setting aside, never happened. A person subconsciously allowed his guard to be down and walked into a trap that was so wonderfully set aside and did not understand the danger of that onward step, thinking that they would have within them the ability to overcome, not recognizing that the wisdom of the enemy is much greater than human understanding and human ability. The second thing is, Timothy, I do not want you to get entangled. First one is entrust. The second is, I don't want you to get in the day-to-day life. Timothy in this chapter is called to be a soldier. To be entangled means to weave in. Entangled. In the book of Hebrews, in the 5th chapter, the high priest was someone that had compassion. And we said this in Hyderabad. That word compassion is a unique word. It is the only time it's mentioned. And this is it. When a person had a problem of infirmity and he had to come to the high priest with his offering, the high priest had to be sensitive enough to minister to his need in such a way that he could not be indifferent to it. That means bypass it and not be sensitive to it, or he could not get overly preoccupied with himself, with that person's need, so as to bury himself in it. When the soldier is rescuing a person from a situation, and he happens to be a man and he's rescuing a woman, he's not asking the woman he's rescuing, are you single so that I can mingle? No. I mean, it might happen in the movies. But he is making sure that in this rescue operation, it is a matter of life and death. He's not so indifferent to the person's condition that he passes her by, or he is not so preoccupied when he asks him, are you having a relational crisis here? That is not the point. The point is evacuation. I am here. This person is going to perish. I need to get them out of the situation. He cannot afford to get entangled. He's not gone there to find citizenship in another place because he found someone wonderful there. That he can do after the war. Are you awake? Number one, entrust. You are entrusting something to somebody in your life as a believer. You are making a difference. You are making an impact. You are discipling someone in the kingdom of God. Number two, you are not getting entangled because you know the purpose of your calling as a believer. You are not getting entangled. So the high priest, it's beautiful there because it says he himself is encompassed about with infirmity. That means he is surrounded by. That word surrounded is also used in Hebrews 12 too, where we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. The word to surround by means to put a millstone round your neck and jump in the river if you put a stumbling block before another person. That's the Greek word. We are looked upon from heaven by those that have gone before us. They're looking down because God has prepared something better for us. In Hebrews 11, 39 and 40, and apart from us, they are not going to be perfected. They are watching us in this church age that have been given unique privileges like no other person in human history in any other age, where we are permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit and we are joined to our living head, which is Jesus Christ in heaven. And we are the body of Christ right now, but we will be the bride of Christ for eternity. Timothy, entrust Timothy, don't get, when a person makes a decision to come to this Bible school, this is not a Bible school where a person can come and play tabla, amrudangan, dangataka and all is not in this Bible college. There is a certain kind of order in this ministry. When you do Bible school, the demons of hell from the bottomless pit in Revelation 9 will be exposed to you. Anathopaisin and all these armies will come. They won't come to any other person they will come to Bible college students. They will come to people, they want to be disciples. They will be released by God to train us in kingdom warfare. So all the Shenaya and the Shairis and all these other things, Carnatic music. Yeah. When he goes back, God is going to take his hands and put it up, and he's going to put 6-inch nails right through, prophetically speaking. Because there is no Carnatic pastor. You can laugh, it's okay. I'm just teasing him. Many people do not understand their privilege of being chosen among to be called by God. Let me say it again. Many people do not know the privilege of having been chosen among to be called by God, to serve Him. So is it possible for a local assembly, I have a few more minutes, to have lost its way in time? It's possible for a marriage to have lost its way in time. It's possible for families. It's possible for disciples. It's possible for missionaries to have lost their way in time, because they have for a moment not taken a glimpse at what it means for a high priest never to be indifferent nor be oversensitive to us. God can never be sentimental to our carnality. There will be no concessions that God will make in relationship to it. When there is an area of sin in our lives, when God addresses it, it must be immediately repented of. It is not because man is making these statements, it is because God has mandated it in His Word. I may get away with it in time, but as I get away with it in time, I lose my authority in the kingdom of God, and I have no way of passing down to the next generation what God wants me to pass. So one generation is completely cut off in Judges 2, 10 to 13, because a person was stupid and foolish not to understand the serious nature of his calling. And trust, don't get entangled. The third point is enlist. That he may please the one who. That word means that there was a voice, there was a call to gather me into that battalion or group for a specific purpose. When a nation goes to war, there are people that are drafted into the army. They are drafted. They're not just people that are caught unawares. They are people that are trained people, but they are not in the army as soldiers, but they are living like civilians, but they are trained. But immediately that call comes and they are in the draft. And there is no time, there is no time to waste when that calling comes into the draft. We have to go and we have to enlist. Yeah, many young men and women in the wars that you read that happened in Korea and Vietnam and all these other places, they were drafted in. Young people in their 19, 20, 21, some of them were in relationships, some of them just married and they never came back home. And their kids had to grow up without a dad and mom had to bring up these kids. Suffering as an evildoer and suffering for righteousness' sake are two different things. If you suffer as a Christian in 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 to 14, the Spirit of grace and glory will rest upon you. If Satan is the father of lies, I cannot lie and get away with Satan. If he is the father of lies in John 8:44, and I lie, Ephesians 4 speaks of it, put aside lying. If I lie, I live in denial, I lie, and he's the father of lies, I am not going to get away with it. Transparency and purity in the kingdom of God are very essential for me to enlist. The last point is endure. I love that because it's in verse 10 of 2 Timothy. For this reason, you have this in verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, in verse 10 of 2 Timothy 2, I love that word. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. Endure, I endure. Jesus Christ despised the shame and he endured the cross. In Hebrews chapter 12, 3, he endured the hostility of sinners against himself, antilogia. Hostility of sinners against himself. When he was on the earth, he endured the hostility of sinners against himself. He despised the shame. He kata phraneo. He thought nothing of it. He endured the cross because something was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. There must be something that is set before us if we have to endure and we have to despise things. Let me say it again. There is something must be set before us. We must have a clear perspective of what is set before us if we are to kanta phraneo, despise, and if we are to hypomone, stay under. We just cannot live our Christian life in wishful thinking from day to day, hoping and believing like the oscillation of a pendulum from one extreme to the other, that my life is going to automatically go from one oscillation to the other and things are going to get better. I must have a very clear perspective of my life in terms of the decision I am making in relationship to my calling, because I understand to a certain extent what it means to entrust. I understand to a certain extent what it means to what? Not get entangled. I understand to a certain extent what it means to what? Enlist. And I understand to a certain extent what it means to endure. Let us run the race with Pepsi. You can run with Pepsi, no problem. Let us run the race with Maza. Let us run the race with patience, endurance. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Today, people are paid all kinds of money. Sports psychiatrist, concentration. How to look at the ball moving off its seam. Imagine that. Getting like $100,000 for that. The believer has an omniscient God that knows the end from the beginning, east is to the west, north is to south. He has him as his psychiatrist. Have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. How much are you going to pay him for that? You have need of patience. I'm closing. So after you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. What is it? Hebrews 6, 12 and 13 and Hebrews chapter 10. It says, through faith and patience you will inherit the promise. Through faith and? Through faith and? Ishmael can come along the way, but that is not going to produce Isaac. It's going to produce pain. Through faith and what? Patience, you'll inherit the promise. Let patience have its complete work so that you will be perfect, lacking nothing. After you have done the will of God, you have need of endurance. God says, it's not that I don't want to give it to you, but you have need of endurance. After you have done the will of God, you will receive what? Promise. Four things. And that is why we are concerned about our generation and we are concerned about the next generation. And the devil would want to get people in the pulpit that are not connected to these four words. So the parents will look at the kids, and nothing wrong with it, give them a good education, want them to raise them up and be secure in life and make money and all that. That's all there. That's not a problem. We are in this world, we have to earn. But they will not say anything to them apart from secular living. They will not tell them there is also a heritage that God has made us a part of. They talk in the house. More than complaining about what is not there, why is this not there, why that washing machine is, why the fridge is in this condition, why this is not there, why that is not there, how many years we've been, this is done. And they say, you know what a heritage we've been part of? You know how we came out of Egypt? You know what we were, taskmasters? You know, can you imagine God? They talk in the house about their heritage. Relatives and families come, great, treat them well and all. They talk about the heritage. That is what God has designed us for. People come here, new. They have no clue. They are brought into the scope of God's plan, and all of a sudden they become a part of that heritage. You make them an offer, you bribe them, you try to get them to do something that gives them better returns, and they will say, no, we have tasted of something and we want to be a part of the heritage. I love what John said to me from Sudan. He said, Pastor, even if nothing comes up in terms of me getting citizenship anywhere, yesterday was his birthday, he said, I am so restful in my heart that I am here. Now, he can change his mind very quickly. But I'm just thinking, you know, you see your parents shot dead in Sudan, and then you basically come here to this country like a refugee with no, not knowing anyone. You take a bus and you come directly to the Sunday morning service because someone told you, go to this pastor and go to the Greater Grace Church there and they might be able to help you. And now he's in the dorm and he's coming to Bible school. And he can go to Australia and become a citizen. But he said to them at the interview, I want to go to a place where there's a Bible college. And they're looking at him saying, are you crazy? Take this opportunity. I don't know how big Australia is, but I don't know where it will fit in the New Jerusalem. Imagine. All these things happened to him so that he would find a local church in India. I'm saying this tonight because there are people that are drifting and have forgotten what God has entrusted to them. They have gotten entangled. They forgot at some point of time there was a specific call on their life to be enlisted. And they are not in this place where they want patience anymore to have its work. They are not in the endurance business anymore. They are in the entertainment business. I want my flesh to have what it wants at any cost. I want it my way. So when this conference opens up, because the theme of the conference is, what is it? I am hoping that everybody in this local assembly would become a soul winner. I'm praying that everybody becomes a prayer warrior, becomes a soul winner. That you go out to one of the 8 outreaches during the week, make a decision in faith, by faith if you're able to, make a decision. Because we don't want, in 1.2 billion people, we don't want for Satan to come in and not have the next generation have what we have. Father, we thank you for this evening. You are king in Jeshurun. You are king in Israel. You are head over the church. We pray that our decisions would be decisions that would be kingdom oriented. Our relationships are kingdom relationships. Everything that we do is a part of the kingdom of God. Help us to understand that we are a part of this kingdom. We are part of the royal family of God today. Help us to not be preferential in our relationships with each other in the body of Christ. We pray, Lord, take away all these soulish things, all these nitbits, communications that actually open doors for the devil to come in. Open-ended statements. I'm not loved. Nobody cares for me. People are talking behind my back. All this nonsense that is basically going on because people are feeding on ashes. They're not on the right communion table of God. On your communion table, we don't hear these words. And that the husbands would take authority in their homes, in their marriages too. To feed their families, spiritually speaking. There is a trend here in the ministry for husbands. The husbands are not there in services beyond a Sunday. They are not there. Some of them will say, yeah, I listen to Dr. Stevens, I listen to Baltimore's message. No, they have to be in the local assembly at least twice a week if they want to make it in this life. And they're leading their families in the direction that you want them to lead, to be led. We don't want to be a Laodicean church, Father. We want to be a Philadelphia church, a missions-oriented church. There is a purpose for which you have called us together. So we pray tonight, Lord, that you will command a blessing upon the body of Christ according to Psalm 133. We claim it for our lives. And if there is anybody wrestling tonight, make a decision to be enlisted. And your wrestlings will cease. Because when you enlist, you wrestle with a new motivation. In Ephesians chapter 6, you wrestle against principalities and powers, not against flesh and blood today. Yes, Father, we pray. Bless the body of Christ, each one that has come here today. Cause us to soar above in Isaiah 40. You give us the wings of eagles to soar above. Yeah. Thank you. Protect, bless, hedge. Pray for Bindu today. Physically heal. Father, we pray today for Kaden who's here with us. Thank you for that. Anybody else that needs to be touched by proxy, put your hand up by faith if you know anyone that needs a healing physically or in any other way by faith. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Pray for Pastor Carl in a special way today. We pray for Pastor Duke Houghton. We pray for Pastor Morrison. We pray for Pastor Uwarma. Pray for Pastor Harry Weisskopf. We pray. These men are pastors, that they all suffer in some degree. We pray for them today, God. Pastor Isaac, physically heal that stroke that he has, Father, we pray. Yes, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, you're dismissed.